Welcome to Cash Considerations, the podcast that takes you behind the Las Vegas sportsbook from the guys that actually work behind it, with your hosts, Alan Berg, Dave Sharapan, and Matoy Pearson.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and it is time for football. I've been waiting to say that forever. This is the time of year where it's really fun to be out here in Vegas, making lines, taking bets, seeing all the craziness, and here to talk about week one of college football, as usual, our guy, Matoy. What's up, dude?
Alan, man, it's Saturday was a big day, man, watching those games. I know we just got a piece of the group of five teams, but, you know, I've never been more excited, and, you know, we're just counting down the time until we can get to Thursday's games and get it rocking.
No question, man. It's pretty crazy. I mean, like, it's weird when you're waiting for it all this time, and then it's just here, it seems like. But we're going to kind of run down for you guys basically the top 25 that we have available that are, you know, quote-unquote real games that aren't involving some smaller schools out there. Shout out to Furman.
Young Firm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's time to go through it, to take a look at the numbers, to see where things maybe lay. We'll get some insight from Mo here. I'm sure he's got a few games that he'll key in on to really give you guys some great detail, as he's one of my favorite people to talk college football with in the city. So I think he's definitely – this is his big time to shine. This is his stuff right here, folks. So
don't get it twisted, no pressure, man. I don't know no much, pressure, man. Just don't – incredible.
Oh, man.
Go ahead. You're okay.
Oh, no. We in. All right.
Yeah, most definitely.
Let's just kind of jump in, man. Let's talk about first up. We do have a top 25 team playing on Thursday. We got the number 21 ranked UCF laying 20.
National champions.
Yeah, the national champions. Correct. Shout out to Lindemann on that one.
Oh, yeah, Lindy.
Yeah, he's loving it. Yeah, they're minus 23 at UConn. Anything to take note here, Mo? Is there any reason to be watching this game, to be betting this game?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of movement on the line now. I think it stands at 23. I think in most markets up to this point, it's been bet down from, I think, 25, maybe to 22, 22 and a half, and then back up. So we're kind of sitting in the middle. You know, of bets on both sides, which is what we like to see on our end. You know, that's right, Alan.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's a big game. It's college football. I mean, any college football game should be watched, according to me. I mean, it's, you got kind of like, you're on both sides of the spectrum here. You got UCF, national champions. Unfortunately, Scott Frost left, you know, plenty of great skill guys. You get McKenzie Milton, you got him back at quarterback, now 40-1 at the on the Heisman, incredibly. And then, you know, a plethora of backs, receivers that can that are real dangerous in space. On the other side, you got UConn. I think Brian Sheriffs was their quarterback. He leaves. But I think they get another guy that can step in here. Junior, I think it is. I'm forgetting his name. But UConn actually played well towards the end of the season. It's a big game for them at home. So it's definitely something that everyone should be watching, especially on the UCF end, to see if they can come off of their undefeated season.
Any lean here as far as something to play?
Yeah, I considering it's a big game. I think it's a big game for UCF, obviously, after their big year. But I think this is a bigger game for UConn at home. Something to start with. They probably had a circle on their calendar, the most cliche thing to say ever when a big team is coming in. But I would actually lean on taking the points. I think it's quite a bit of points for a team that loses their coach. UConn, like, great towards the end of the year. And, you know, they got the same system coming back. So I think the offensive coordinator took over at UCF, so they'll have a lot of the same schemes that they had. But if I could take the points here at home, I think UConn would probably be the best bet. I think offensively, tempo-wise, they can kind of keep it in between, you know, not getting blown out and, you know, kind of giving UCF a run for their money.
Nice. All right. Well, let's move along here to Friday. We've got 11th-ranked Michigan State at home opener against Utah State, laying 23.5 at Caesars, I believe. I know the number was at one point 25, so maybe a little bit of action on the Aggies. What's the word out in Michigan State? I mean, you know, it seems like a decent ranking for them to start off the season.
Yeah. No, they, I mean, they return quite a bit of three-star guys all over the field. But the quarterback, Brian Lewerke, he's going to be the one getting them going. You know, just for Lindy and Casey, our guys in the back, these might be the national champions this year.
Wow.
I couldn't be any more sarcastic about that. they'll understand it. Hopefully everyone listening will understand how hilarious that is. But it's a big game at home. Obviously, you know, all the home games, especially the openers, are something the fans can come out and see and check out the 11th-ranked team if they're worth it. On the other side, though, Mountain West, Utah State, we took a look at a couple Mountain West teams in Hawaii, Wyoming, and Colorado State. So, you know, for Utah State, they come in with basically the same kind of their same players, not too many people left. The offense has played really well, and they're a pretty gritty team. I've seen a stat which I wanted to go over. I think in like the last nine games, their last nine openers, they've been outscored by like 42 points, something insane. I wish I had the legitimate number there, but if you want to look it up, it's pretty crazy. It's a rough game for them to step into, especially going into Michigan State. But on the flip side, Miss State, usually when they open up with games, they're not really going for the jugular. They're kind of just not waltzing through, but it's a big dress rehearsal going into conference play. So I think they're going to be trying to get a lot of things out of their playbook to see how they can kind of figure it out going on with the rest of the season. Michigan State's pretty not stacked on offense, but they got a lot of guys that you know, a couple of receivers that I know of that can get up the field, make some plays for Lewerke. And, you know, I just kind of want to see how Michigan State does offensively, personally, to see how they're going to fare later on. So for me, it's not much of a lean. Considering the stat I gave you, I think Michigan State might be the move here. But I wouldn't doubt Utah State keeps it early, and maybe a Utah State first half play could be solid here.
Well, when I first look at this game, I see they're ranked number 4, but I'm trying to figure out if that's in college football or campus drinking. Wisconsin, number 4, playing 36 at home against Western Kentucky. Open 34, I believe. Been driven up a little bit. You know, I'm one of these guys that I just feel like there's not really much difference here between 34 and 36. You know, that always comes into play, of course, as we know,
yeah,
as numbers
of
people.
Course.
But I still don't think you're getting as much cent value out of the moves as you are, obviously, when you're in the, you know, even in the 7.5 to 8 to 8.5 moves. I don't know. I mean, is this going to be on every parlay, I assume?
Yeah, I guess throughout the city, I mean, guys like Chris Andrews and some of the Will Hill guys, they were saying that Ohio State and Wisconsin is basically on every parlay, if not on its own two-teamer. I actually took a piece of some Wisconsin at 34. Obviously, the numbers don't matter if it gets to that point. You know what I mean? It's at 37.5, I think, now at Westgate. Just unreal. You know, Wisconsin, they'll be getting back basically their whole offense. They have to make some adjustments on defense in their secondary. But it seems like they know what they got going on. Jonathan Taylor, Heisman Trophy candidate in the backfield. Alex Hornibrook, veteran quarterback for Wisconsin. And then they have basically the same 345-pound lineman that they have every year. So rough time for Western Kentucky to open up here because they've been rebuilding without Jeff Brohm, who went to Purdue. And, you know, just they had such a rough year last year. Didn't finish well in the bowl game against Georgia State, got slaughtered. You know, it's like what Western Kentucky can do early here, you know, to stop some bleeding and, you know, kind of keep their momentum up. Cause I think Wisconsin is just going to be running it more or less with Taylor, and, you know, getting the most out of their play action pass to get up early and stay up later. Which, you know, I don't think Western Kentucky can score as much, especially on this defense here on the road.
Very cool. All right. Well, we got one more game here on Friday. Number 13, Stanford at home, the opener. 15, they're laying against San Diego State. Kind of an interesting line to me. I mean, you know, you're considered a top 15 team and only laying a little over two touchdowns against the Mountain West school. What are your thoughts on this one? It looks like jumped up 14.5, so only a half point move so far.
Right, correct. So you got a home and home here. San Diego State gets the win at home last year. Big game for San Diego State. Low scoring affair. Coming into it right now, I mean, Stanford has – they return, I think, four of their offensive linemen, and they like to get gritty, you know, how Shaw does. And then they get KJ Costello back, a decent, better quarterback for Stanford than we've seen in the past years since Luck left. And then on the defensive side for San Diego State, I mean, Rocky Long prides themselves on stopping the run, just, you know, all-out defense. The line seems pretty good here. Stanford at home deserves a lot of respect. And also, just like we said in the Wisconsin game, Stanford has their own Heisman Trophy candidate in Bryce Love, who is I think San Diego State's going to get a lot of in this game.
Nice. I have this feeling we're going to be needing San Diego State on Friday.
Yeah, well, right now we actually took some sharper bets from 15 down to 14, and it seems like a lot of the books right now are expecting some of these downtown. So we're getting a lot of 14s now. Nothing below that so far. But I actually played some San Diego State plus 15 myself. So if I had to give a side out, I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I had a prediction like a 26-17 Stanford. You know, San Diego State's just kind of inept offensively, but I think coaching wise, I love coaches. I respect coaches early. I think Rocky Long will at least have the team enough to kind of stay in the game and fight to stay within the points.
Okay, fair. Some good info there for you folks. A little bit of San Diego State money coming in from not the guys who bet on Friday night.
Right.
All right, well, we can move on now to Saturday. Let's start here with number 5, Ohio State, a very respectable university. That's sarcasm, folks.
Yeah, of course.
They're laying 39 at home against Oregon State. My, how the Beavers have fallen.
Jesus
39
Christ.
On the road. Pretty wild. They were 38, moved up a point. I'm just assuming that just Oregon State's like at their wit's end with just trash recruiting and whatever is going on here, that's this bad of a discrepancy. I mean,
yes, it's terrible.
Yeah,
all right. Absolutely terrible.
Take it away,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, it's I haven't really looked much into Oregon State. I think it's a lot of JUCO guys coming in. Just a lot of turnaround as far as that team goes. I think 2-11 last year, 2-10, something in there. I'm not – should know this. But, you know, just going on with that and then the problems with Ohio State, where do we begin? I mean, it's just been an all-out just a travesty, would you say, Alan?
Yeah, I would say that's an appropriate word.
They have more stuff coming in about, you know, the allegations or not even allegations that actually all happened. Irvin lied. He's a liar. He lied. That's all there is to it. I don't know what it – I can't believe it. But, you know, even without Urban's, you know, presence being there, Jesus freaking Christ. But, I mean, the points make sense. You know, I don't know how Oregon State's going to score. You know, like I said about Western Kentucky, Oregon State's got to at least get something going early to even have any confidence, because Ohio State returns plenty of guys. And it's going to be a big game for Dwayne Haskins, who's going to be the starting quarterback here at Ohio State. He's going to want to get rolling. You know, I predict they're going to be passing. They're going to be passing a lot. They're going to be running with J.K. Dobbins. They're going to be full throttle, man. I don't like laying a bunch of points, but I can't take Oregon State. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I've,
it's
I
just
feel
disgusting.
You.
You know, if like we've seen like 44-0 and Ohio State seems to call the dogs off or whatever. I mean, I can see something like that.
Sure.
You know, for anyone that's hearing, it's why take Oregon State. But if you're gonna grab the points, then, you know, good luck to you.
Well, moving on from one debacle to the next, Texas, number 23, Texas. Huge line move here for various reasons, playing on a neutral site against the University of Maryland, which, the coaches are trying to kill kids. That might
They're
be a little extreme, but it's been
them,
terrible.
Man.
So what is going on in college football, man?
They got a new thing going on with Todd Tom Herman, the coach of Texas now, and he had a he was with Zach Smith for some of his recruiting. I think it was last year, if not this year. It's just it's new news that came out. You know, it just never ends. You got Durkin over here. You got Herman over here. You got Zach Smith and Urban Meyer. I mean, we didn't even make – you can't even make it up. Anyway, I mean, back to the game. Yeah, it's – this is going to be a big one. Maryland actually comes in offensively. They bring back a lot of guys as well. Their backfield is stacked. They lose DJ Moore to the Panthers, who I thought was a pretty good pick there. Doesn't have anything to do with this. But Maryland offensively should roll. Texas loses, I think, their best linebacker to the NFL as well. Unfortunately, I don't have much names. I'm kind of just going my head. I'm just off cool, of what man. I've read.
That's cool.
And, yeah, so Texas has some things going on defensively that can kind of hurt them early. Tom Herman's a great coach, though, who have them working and probably running for a Big 12 title here later on. But it's after Durkin left, it went from 10 to 13 to 14, 14 and a half now, I think, at some places from what I've seen. I think it's going to be a foot race last year. I mean, they scored nearly almost 100 points. I'm thinking not 100 points, but it could be a track meet to an extent offensively. They got Shane Buechele, who's going to be a veteran quarterback for Texas. He's going to know what he's doing there. And at home, it's going to be big for all the Longhorn fans to kind of get out and, you know, try to get some revenge from last year. So if I had to pick a side, man, I like Texas at 10. I mean, it's kind of a reach, but I still think Texas kind of gets out ahead on Maryland and wins in a shootout. But a respective gap between the point spread, I'd end up going with Texas, you know, if I can get 13 or 13 and a half.
So maybe a first half spread maybe here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I lean over, obviously, from all the stuff I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If they wanted a side, I mean, I think Texas can get out early and kind of put pressure on them. So that should be a fun one to watch, I think, for anyone. So.
Right on.
Should be good, yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Florida Atlantic traveling to number 7, Oklahoma. The Sooners laying 20 and a half, came a little bit down from 21. You know, no Baker Mayfield. So what does this mean for the Sooners?
Well, they got the new Oakland A guy here, Kyler Murray, who's probably making more than Lincoln Riley, I'm assuming already. He didn't play one game. But, yeah, this kid's got the same skills stud as Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying just as good, but to run the offense that Riley runs, kind of a run and shoot, you know, they're a pretty fast-paced offense. And then Oklahoma returns Rodney Anderson, who's going to be a big part of the Oklahoma offense as well. FAU, though, on the other hand, who's all offense, you know how Lane Kiffin rolls. You know, they were kind of shadowed in that Florida, bunch of Florida teams that did great within UCF and Miami. But this team right here, FAU, dominated on the way out of the Conference USA. And they're going to be licking their chops, man, getting ready for a game like this. You know, last year, I think FAU played Navy, Wisconsin, a couple other big teams out of the conference, and didn't fare so well. So I think they want to kind of get a foot up or get a leg up on competition, especially right now against Oklahoma. So a lot of points here. Oklahoma returns a lot of their defensive guys. On the defensive line, so they're going to be getting after FAU's running game and quarterback. FAU has a running back who actually he's not a Heisman guy, Devin Singletary, but he's like your do-it-all back. You can probably see him playing on Sundays here, and I'm not even kidding about that. He's pretty good. So it's going to be a lot of the for me, I think I want to see a lot of the stuff on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the line, Oklahoma State's defensive line versus FAU's offensive line. I think that's what's going to kind of get, you know, you're going to know what you're getting here in the first couple quarters. So if for me to have a lean, from what I heard from my boy Lindy, FAU's defense should be doing pretty well. If you can get 21, I think I'd snatch that with the Owls, and you'll probably get a good game out of there in Oklahoma.
Nice. I was going to say, this is probably the only thing I'm going to say on the entire show. I like FAU. Give me the points.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 21's sort of a lot for a team that dominated on the way out. So, and a big ups to FAU. The Fighting Kiffins.
All right, man. Well, we might have what many would probably call the game of the week here. Number 6 Washington against number 9 Auburn, again on a neutral field. I got Auburn, I guess, laying 1.5 in this game.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. Let us know what you think about this one.
This one's going to be a great one, man. I think this one's in the Mercedes-Benz Dome, the Falcons Stadium.
Nice.
It's going to be a great game, prime time. People are going to be loving it, man. You got Washington out of the Pac-12, didn't fare so well last year, losing to Arizona State, kind of losing their bid to get into the playoff. And then you got Auburn, who beat Alabama, loses to Georgia, then loses their spot in the playoff. Two teams that are hungry, ready to get after it. You know, it's going to be a big game. You know, Auburn has, I think, the top – they have a defensive line in the top 10 in the nation. You know, real nasty guys, man. So, some people that can get after it. And then I like Chris Peterson's offense, the way he runs things. You know, great coach out of Boise State. Had plenty of success going out. They beat Georgia, you know, once. They've had a couple big wins on the road. So, you know, it's – I got respect for both. As you can see, the line kind of respects both of them, almost had a pick after Auburn being favored by three respectively. You know, it's I'm not really sure. A lot of people tell me they think over, they think tempo is going to be up for both teams. I can't really see too many offensive guys that I like yet for Auburn. I know they got Stidham back. They lose Kerryon Johnson to the Lions. You know, rough for them. Gus Malzahn's going to have his work cut out for him. To try to see what he can do against Chris Peterson's pretty nasty defense on the road. I don't really have a lean. I know a lot of sharp guys have both sides. I like Peterson on the road. I lean Washington. Obviously we missed the best number. I didn't get any down on him. I like Washington on the road here for them to get notify voters and anybody that's watching that the Pac-12 isn't bad. And they can get a win against a pretty decent FCC opponent like Auburn.
Nice. All right. One more neutral game here. We got number 17, West Virginia, laying 10 against Tennessee, one of the powerhouses that just hasn't seemed to be able to get back to the glory days.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, man. Yeah, so what we got here, West Virginia has they're getting a lot of hype here in the Big 12, which is a lot of people are saying are wide open right now. No disrespect to Oklahoma. They bring back Will Grier, an incredible amount of skill guys, David Sills, and then they got another guy on the other end that, you know, can just get it after it as much as Sills, who's their wide receiver, probably their number one. And then Tennessee, you know, they lose Jones. They get Justin Pruitt. Alabama's defensive coordinator, so he's looking to make a big step in Tennessee's program. Who, yeah, should be big, but they've been falling flat on their face the last couple years. It's going to be rough. I think West Virginia is going to turn it on early. They're a 9.5, 10-point favorite. I respect that a lot, especially on a neutral field. I think West Virginia played Virginia Tech last year, and that one was a shootout. Came down to the last seconds. Vatek ended up getting that big win. And you can kind of see how their season went. They had a great year with Fuente. I faded Florida a lot last year, and it was the SEC team I had to go against. And that's how I feel about Tennessee, man. I don't see much on defense. You know, they got a lot of guys that they kind of flipped around. They're trying to get their team acclimated and ready for the season. West Virginia right now, I think, is a thoroughbred that people will be clinging on to later in the season. Mm. And then you'll see the point spreads start to reflect that. But I like West Virginia here on a neutral site. You know, I'll lay 9.5, 10. I figure they might win here by a couple touchdowns, maybe 20 points there.
Very nice. So we have our first ATS disaster, according to Mo, with Tennessee this season.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Moving right along, we got Appalachian State traveling to Penn State, number 10 ranked team in the nation, minus 23.5, down from 24. Anything of note here? I mean, we all know they lost Saquon Barkley to the Giants. He was an absolutely dynamic player for them, probably their best player Unreal. They've had in many, many years.
Yeah, many moons.
Yeah, many moons. I mean, you know, do you see anything here in this point spread? Anything jump out?
We actually got a big time bettor to come in, sharp sharp better that we know that bets on Penn State minus 23.5.
Okay.
We're hanging 24.5. I think it's the biggest number on the market right now, but it's basically, you know, as far as you, if you're going to keep going up, I mean, everything's around 23, 24. It's not too much. I mean, they lose Saquon. From what I've been reading, they haven't been panicking. I guess their run game is still pretty stacked with the guys they got behind McSorley. Speaking of McSorley, I mean, he's on – like, you know, Penn State had the last couple years where maybe one year they were cheated out of the playoff. Last year, I think they got that big win against Washington in the bowl. Big year for Franklin, you know, for the Big Ten. The Big Ten's one of the highest-ranked conferences. And for me, at home, I don't think they're going to let up. Appalachian State loses Taylor Lamb, one of the best quarterbacks they had in a couple of years. Yeah, Appalachian State, everybody remembers their win against Michigan. It's been so long since that, so I don't want anybody to misinterpret, a down year that they might have here in the Sun Belt. So, I mean, Appalachian State's a well-coached team. They're not going to come in thinking that, you know, they're going to get smoked or they're not looking at a point spread, you know, in that type of fashion. But, you know, just to the degree of what I know Penn State still has, I think defensively they're still pretty solid. I wouldn't mind laying 23.5 either. I know Appalachian State gets after it, and, you know, anybody that watches college football knows that. But I think it might just be a rough game for them here to get acclimated to, to get into the Sun Belt. So I think the Nittany Lions here might be a play, good play here.
Cool. All right. We have next up, number 15, USC hosting the local school,
Hey-o!
UNLV. And I'm sure that I didn't say this to Mo off air, but I'm sure the Vegas Homer will let us know all about the Rebels. And they're you probably have a 999-1 ticket on them, I'm assuming, to win the whole thing.
No, man, I wish. I mean, I gotta find it somewhere. I could get down if that's possible, man. This is a big UNLV loses to Howard last year in their first game. I mean, Jesus Christ. And then you got USC here who
Young
loses,
Newton.
The young Newt.
Yeah, Young Newt.
Oh my God.
Hashtag Young
Jesus
Newt.
They kept calling Amani Rogers Cam Newton, like the next Cam Newton, and then he loses to Cam Newton's brother in the first game. Like, you can't make these are things you can't make
Incredible.
Up. Unreal, man. So you got USC, who brings back just an incredible amount of defense, top 20 in the country in their DBs and their defensive line. They're going to be stacked all around. And UNLV's game is obviously more offense with the young Cam Newton, Armani Rogers, and then you got one of the best unsung backs in the country in Lexington Thomas, who held his ground and played great all throughout last year to keep UNLV in the games. So, I mean, that's what you got. No Sam Darnold. You get JT Daniels, freshman QB out of California, one of the best in the country. He's going to be heading the team. I heard he's got a smart mind. And then you know how USC recruits. They just got plenty of offensive guys. They don't have Ronald Jones, but they got Stephen Carbeck, who also is a Heisman candidate. So you could get a lot of points here. It's hard to really say. I think UNLV's been another one that they've been waiting to get their hands on a game like this, and you know especially their opener, they want to get that bad taste out of their mouth with Howard, and they want to show everyone that they can actually go bowling this year. For me, I think 27 points is quite a bit, especially with the quarterback, a true freshman to come out. Obviously, he's a stud. You know, the USC's defense is there, but they got a lot of things to work out. I think this is going to be a dress rehearsal for USC for the most part. And if UNLV doesn't turn it over, I think they can make it a game. Just on that end, UNLV's defense is headed by one of Florida's old defensive coordinators. I think they got him last year, a couple years ago. But they got a different mentality. You know, that's just been their Achilles heel for so long, defense. They just can't stop anyone. Right here is a big time to, you know, get after a true freshman. I know they're not going to be able to stop the run as much, but they got to just stop the bleeding enough to keep their offense on the field and let Armani Rogers and that offense work, because they're going to be rolling. So I think 27 points here. I know it's 26.5 everywhere. I think it's going to go up. But I think 27, 28 points here is a great grab with UNLV for USC. I think they're going to just be more in the dress rehearsal stage of getting a big win here.
Nice. We'll make sure that UNLV checks in the mail. All right.
Yeah. When UNLV loses 50-0, then I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to just quit, Alan. I'm going to quit immediately.
Oh no, no. There's no quitting. There's no quitting in this game.
Yeah, we'll quit.
Yeah,
we'll
quit. We just bounce right back. All right, now, man. Number 22, Boise State heads out on the road to play Troy, laying 10.5. What's up with our boys in the blue field of Idaho these days?
So I actually talked about this with a couple people today, and Troy loses their biggest offensive players in Brandon Silvers, a quarterback that was there for, I think, 3-4 years, and Jordan Chun, who was like their workhorse back. So they still got some savvy guys. I'm a big fan of Neil Brown. Like I said, I like coaches, especially early in the season. They get, you know, they got guys on point. So I think Troy at home has their work cut out for him. They're Sun Belt champs. And on the other side, Brian Harsin, I think that's his name, the coach, he's going to be heading Boise State. And then you got Brett Rippon, who also is a Heisman candidate. Some say Boise State could be a New Year's Six team this year. I don't say that, but some say that. it's going to be another battle, man. We got another home-and-home here. Boise State won a close one in Boise last year. Now they got to travel to Troy. You know what I mean? We think more of a defensive battle here. Brett Rippon loses a lot of their weapons offensively. They get Jeremy McNichols back, their workhorse back, so they're probably going to give him some run. But I think it's going to be gritty. I mean, I think, you know, if Rippon can't really throw too many people, they might try to get him on a lot of short throws. And Troy's defense is pretty stacked coming back as well. So, you know, it's going to be a possession battle to see where they can get on the field, you know, stuff like that to get some field goals here and there and try to punch some scores in. For me, I lean under. I don't know if I have a side remotely. I would lean Troy plus the points. I mean, they got a lot a lot of respect to earn as well. But you know, Boise's had, you know, plenty of success in their tenure, going on the road and smoking teams and beating teams, you know, that they didn't think they could beat them by. So it's kind of a toss up for me on the point spread. I'd lean home, but I lean more under here. For teams that lose a lot on offense, that'll be in more of a possession battle here.
Nice. All right. Now we got a head-to-head matchup that's going to be well talked about and well anticipated. Number 14, Michigan, traveling to Notre Dame to play the 12th-ranked Irish. Lined up Michigan -1.5. Basically to pick, I believe. There's some Notre Dame -1s, I believe, popping up around town.
Yep.
What's going on here with this matchup? Is Jim Harbaugh going to finally get over the top in this season or what?
Oh, if he doesn't, he's out. He's gone. he's out of there. Hey, see him, man. Hey, we don't know. We don't know you, bro. Yeah, so we got a big battle. I mean, this is going to be one that's, you know, everyone's going to be watching. I'm already assuming. You know, where to start? Yeah, Michigan, they get the transfer from Ole Miss, Shea Patterson. He's got a lot of weight on his shoulders already. And then Brandon Wimbush, the quarterback from Notre Dame, he just got the starting job, I think, today over Ian Book, a young up-and-comer. So guys like Brandon Wimbush has more of a grasp on his offense since he started all year. And Shea Patterson's looking to air it out here since Michigan couldn't throw a pass past 10 yards if they wanted to. I think Notre Dame loses a lot of their offensive power. I think one of their backs ended up going to Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if that one's right. And then they lose a Quinemius Brown.
Yeah.
And I think he ended up going to the league as well. So Brian Kelly has his work cut out for him, even at home. Notre Dame's defense was pretty nasty last year. Michigan brings back Donovan Peoples-Jones, an unsung wide receiver I think everybody should be looking out for because they got Shea Patterson, a guy that can wing it around. And then they bring back two of their backs, Caron Higdon and Chris Evans. They're kind of like a thunder and lightning package. And, you know, like Jim Harbaugh likes to run that rock. So probably smokes that rock. It's wild, man. The dude's crazy. But so he's a wild man. For me, I didn't really have much of a say on it to begin with. I thought it was closer to what most people thought. I'm glad it's out of pick. That's what I was thinking in my head. South Point gave out +7 on Michigan when they put their lines out, and they got smoked immediately. Man, they drove from 7 to pick to Michigan being the favorite.
Wow.
You know, so that's pretty incredible right there. If for anybody that didn't know that that piece of knowledge. Do I have a lean here? I say under. You know, I think it's I think Michigan has to work a lot of stuff out. You know, like it's a dress rehearsal for a lot of these guys. So I think they're going to keep it on the ground, but they're going to use that play action to get a lot of stuff over the head of Notre Dame. And then, you know, Notre Dame with Brandon Wimbush, he's kind of more of a run style quarterback. So I think Brian Kelly will have wrinkles for him to, you know, get the ball to him in space and keep the chains moving on first down. So more of a possession battle, like I said here. If I had to pick a winner, I think I'd go Michigan. I think their defense, they have one of the best defenses in the country, the best DBs in the country from what we've read in plenty of articles. And then Rashawn Gary on the defensive line, he's going to make it hell for Wimbush and whoever plays quarterback if the guy starts to stink up the place. So Michigan here, I think on the road in a close one, under, that's what I'll go with here.
Beautiful. All right. Two games left here for the Saturday docket. We have Louisville at a neutral field against number one Alabama, laying 24.5, number open 25.5. I mean, is this just another typical season where Bama's in the Final Four?
Man, we were joking about it, about Bama Warriors and Patriots. And I mean, how is Bama not in there again? You know, they're just stacked offensively. They lose a lot of guys on defense, a lot of their DBs. Obviously, Minka Fitzpatrick is gone. A lot of those guys that helped out in the linebacking core is gone too. So, you know, it's going to be tough for them to acclimate themselves and get ready for the season. But you know how Saban does, man. You know, they get guys, they coach them up real well. And, you know, there's just stuff that they do on their own terms that kind of pump them up and keep them going like they've never won before. So, you know, where 24 points looks ridiculous, even for a team that's lost a lot on defense. You got Tua Tagovailoa, my boy, Tom Brady, the next Tom Brady. I don't even want to say the Samoan Tom Brady. I'm just going to say the next Tom Brady. The lefty, the kid's, you know, he's incredible. They got Najee and Damian Harris in the backfield. And, you know, their skilled guys get the most out of it. So you got a guy that can throw now. No knock on Hurts, who couldn't throw. So knock on Hurts. but Tua, I mean, you got a guy that you can put in space as well to move the chains with his feet. But a guy that keeps his head up in the pocket and gets out, passes quick and gets it on the numbers, man. So Louisville's going to have their work cut out for him. I guess their defense has probably risen from last year. Who they finished out the season incredibly, had a tough loss to Mississippi State, you know, rough one on there. And, you know, they had a lot going for them, but then they had to wait for that game. So I think right now they're going to try to scheme as best as they can to keep, you know, the score pretty decent on a Lamar Jackson-less offense. But Bobby Petrino's heading it, and they're going to be throwing it and running around just like they were, even out without the you know, the excitement with Lamar under the gun. So, you know, man, Bama just smokes teams in week one, man. We've seen USC get smoked. We watched Florida State get smoked. I mean, it's just a long line of openers that just got crushed. So, man, you know, I think it's the square in me wants to lay everything, but where Louisville gets the cop out. Maybe they can find holes in a young Alabama defense if they can get it blocked up front. And maybe they can stay in the game, you know, long enough to kind of, you know, stay within that point so everyone can sweat it out and, you know, oh, no, they're down by 20. And, you know, everyone's kind of yelling out in the crowd. So I would just kind of scoop some of the points. How about that, man? You know, I'd scoop some of the points, you know, kind of say a prayer and just, you know, hope that Tua doesn't go off for 8 touchdowns, total touchdowns.
Tua Tom.
Oh, man, Tua Tom, baby. The Tua Tom will return, man. So that's kind of my take on that one right there.
All right, last one on Saturday. We got Bowling Green at number 24, Oregon, laying 32.5. The line skyrocketed from an original number of 27.5.
Right. That's right.
What's going on with this one? Just a bad line, I guess?
Yeah, I think, you know, the cappers probably didn't get it right. A lot of the sharper guys seen it kind of took, you know, a Bowling Green team who's been down and still going to be down. They're kind of fighting out of the cellar in the MAC. You know, it's been a long time since Dino Babers was there, and they were putting up 50 points on basically everyone. So they're just getting a team that's rebuilding, sort of like the kind of position Western Kentucky is against Wisconsin. You know, a team that has to go on the road, not too many people backing them. And I would figure like 30 points does seem right. You get a Heisman candidate in Oregon with Justin Herbert, and you know how Oregon recruits, they're fast. They got new jerseys. They're doing all this. They're shining bright, man. And this is a big game for Mario Cristobal, who just took over for Taggart, who ended up going to Florida State, taking his dream job. So for a guy like that, they take a bad loss in the bowl game last year. That obviously is not in this equation. They're going to be running and gunning, man. You know how Oregon does. They've been doing it for years. And, you know, for a team that's rebuilding like Bowling Green, who's trying to get their feet set, you know, it's just going to be hard to kind of get around and get to those places on the field that Oregon attacks. So, I mean, it could get ugly early. A lot of sharper guys got down on the number, on the early number. I mean, this could be Oregon's game to, you know, put their face back at the top of the Pac-12 as well.
Beautiful. All right. Well, now we move on to Sunday.
Hello.
We have got number 8 Miami versus number 25 LSU on a neutral field. Line open 2.5. Miami is up to 3.5. I texted our boy Lindy and I said, wait, Miami is preseason number 8. This is a typo, yeah? This coming from a Hurricanes fan. I think personally, as a fan of the team, I'm very pessimistic in a lot of ways just from the past. But I think they're going to pummel LSU, but I don't have very high expectations for the rest of their season, and I expect a loss somewhere in the first couple games just because that's how they like to roll.
Yeah, no, they got the obviously the best out of their team. You know, big ups to Mark Richt for being there and you know, turning the U into the U. You know, their first game into the SEC or the I apologize, the ACC championship. Unfortunately, they were injured, got slaughtered by Clemson. Clemson is Clemson. You know, moving on. So we got this is another big game, obviously. And I was telling you I liked LSU to begin with. Which I think I'm totally wrong, like not even close. Yeah, it's funny where I thought Miami got the breaks offensively. That's where I kind of made my case where LSU defense could make a change here. Mm-hmm. I think their offense with Keith Burrow now at the helm, it's his first year transfer out of Ohio State with their 400 million quarterbacks. Jeez, man. But, you know, Orgeron, I like the guy. It's such a big game. And I don't know how many people he's ever outcoached. You know what I mean? You know, and especially in a game where they lose a lot of their offensive guys, Darius Geist being one of them. A lot of the receivers are gone too. Mm-hmm. They're more their electric guys. But this is a game where Miami could take control. And I think there's a lot of naysayers out there because of the year they had last year. But defensively, I think is where Miami is going to get their breaks in this game and kind of blow it open. You know, Malik Rozier is kind of like a game manager. I don't like to call people that. Not sarcasm, but that's what he's going to have to do here. But he's got plenty of – they got plenty of guys. I think it's Lorenzo Lingard, true freshman at DU, running back. This guy's smooth. I mean, he's going to be there. He's going to be a big name to know, especially when he's breaking down LSU later in the game, when LSU probably has 6 points. I mean, I was talking to Lindy, and their offensive coordinator – he hasn't offensive coordinated any teams in like the last 5 years, man. So, you know, these are problems I'm going to have when they're trying to move the sticks against a defense like Miami. So I'm going to lean Miami. I'm going to lay the 3.5. You know, it could be a little bit closer. I think I might, you know, my flip might be a little bit too quick, but I mean, I can't back a team that's not going to score much. So I like Miami here, maybe in a 24-10 game.
Nice. All right, last one we got on the board, Monday, September 3rd, we got number 20 Virginia Tech against number 19 Florida State. Seminoles laying 7.5, line open at 5. Quite a bit of line movement here, but I believe you were telling me that we saw some action on Virginia Tech. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's definitely one of our bigger bets that we've gotten from someone that we truly respect, and that was that 7.5 key number there, big number there. I had to play some myself. You know, I was talking about it with Casey for maybe the last few days that I mean, on a big stage like this, Taggart gets his job. He already named DeAndre Francois as the starter, veteran, gritty guy. And then you got Virginia Tech, you get Josh Jackson back. He got kind of smoked a little bit early because I think people were cheating for him on tests, you know, college things. And, you know, he came back. He's going to be playing quarterback for Va Tech. I think a lot of defense is going to be here. Vatek obviously loses Tremaine Edmonds to the Steelers. Someone you say that they draft well, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know, cold take, whatever. But yeah, this is going to be the big one, man. Monday night game. I'm pretty excited even just talking about it, like getting to that point. You know, it's far as Florida State. I kind of want to see how they do offensively. Cam Akers is one of the guys I thought was a Heisman hopeful last year, still is this year. He's going to be getting a lot of reps. Virginia Tech, Justin Fuente, quarterback whisperer, but he prides on defense as well, and Virginia Tech can play that. They got a lot of young guys, but I think they'll keep the same schemes to kind of keep the game close. I lean under here, but I see a lot of dress rehearsals, kind of like filling the team out, seeing what their offenses can do between both teams, with Willie Taggart at the helm. He's going to try to see what he can do with the Florida State offense, who had a terrible season last year. But I think in a close game like this, if you're going to get 7.5 points, just in my prediction, I think when the lights are the brightest and you get a coach like Fuente out there who can, get the best of his guys, I think the 7.5 or even 7, if you can get it, is perfect here.
Woo. Well, that was fantastic. Went through like 18 games, I believe. Pretty much got you guys all ready for it. But let's give Mo the final stage here and tell us what you say. I don't know, 3 to 4 of your best games out of this whole thing that we just kind of processed. And actually, you can throw in anything that we might not have mentioned, any unranked matchups, whatever.
Yeah, sure. So Wisconsin -34 is a I think that was great value at the time. Obviously, their dead numbers on all the way up. I just don't see how Western Kentucky can score. So Wisconsin -34 is great. Virginia Tech +7.5. That one's fresh in everybody's minds if they got a piece of that. I think that's a great number to get there. And then I think the last one was SDSU at +15. That one's going to be a gritty battle, home and home. SDSU's got a lot to prove, and to do it in a place like Stanford on the road, it helped their team. So close games there. I actually played Marshall +2.5, who brings back a quarterback that I think people would be talking about in the group of five, Alex Thompson, transfer out of Wagner FCS school. Guy can sling it. Marshall against Miami, Ohio, book that, even if it's probably going to be a loser. And then I think that's about it for the games that we went on. I played a little bit of South Carolina -29.5 against Coastal Carolina. They get Bentley back. They get Debo Samuels back. Somebody told me they wanted their name to be Debo. Debo's a great name. You got to bet on a guy named Debo.
As long as Craig ain't around.
That's right. Bingo. Yeah. I don't want anybody's chains getting stolen or any of that stuff. And then actually on Thursday did we go over Northwestern and Purdue?
No, uh-uh.
Yeah, so that's a big one. Northwestern gets their quarterback, I think, Clayton Thorson back, and a line that flipped from -3 Northwestern to +3 Northwestern. If they're going to be able to get their quarterback, if you can even get 2 or 1.5, I think Northwestern's a great play there, even on the road against Jeff Brohm. So Northwestern's a great play there, too, for myself.
Beautiful. All right, brother. Well, hell of a show. For those of you that have been listening to us for a while, we don't really prep a whole lot. I mean, we write down some lines and get the matchups ready for you guys, but I'm just literally just throwing all this stuff at Mo. So we tend to not like to script things out and just, let it flow and see where it goes. And I think Mo just did an outstanding job. Some great information in there for you guys. Hopefully you can all cash some tickets on the first big Saturday of college football.
We hope.
We hope.
Is the key word. Yeah, we're just hoping. Hey, we're literally just hoping out here.
He just gave you two of his best games were on Friday. So if he goes 2-0, immediately to fade everything he said on Saturday.
Yeah,
so.
It's not even close. And if it loses, then still fade. Yeah. So it's basically a win-win for the people.
Oh, man.
And Alan knows the most, man. He knows
Mo
me,
fade.
So.
Mo fade. No, seriously. Mo's one of the best guys I know out there in this stuff. So definitely heed these takes, my friend. Heed these takes.
Heed them, baby.
But that's gonna wrap it up for this time. We will be back as soon as we can, and hopefully bringing some extra guests in for one of the next couple shows. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.